In a society filled with tight asses and people trying to cancel everyone, one man stands alone, not afraid to talk about penis and poo-poo and things like that. That man is Joey Valentine. And this is his podcast, Fat Guy Loves Cake.
Butt stuff.
I don't want to do butt stuff tonight.
Dada. You fuck yourself.
Fuck your couch, nigga.
I don't ever know what I'm gonna do. I just start doing stuff and pressing buttons and whatnot. I don't know. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Fat Guy Loves Cake. I am Joey Valentine, the Joey Valentine that you've heard so much about, that you've pined over, that you've lost sleep over, that you've had wonderful dreams about. I am that Joey Valentine, and I thank you for joining me for a brand new episode here on March 6, 2024, 3624, and it is bright and early for me. Oh, yeah, we got the time change coming up. Guys, don't forget that. Thank God. I hate the time change. It is the most stupidest, useless thing that we do that we all seem to agree on, and I hate it so much. It doesn't make any sense to me. Why would you want it to get darker earlier when it gets colder? It's so depressing. You want your cold days to have sunlight so you can go outside and enjoy that weather. I just don't get it. And why do we abide by it? Why does no one stand up and say, we don't want this? Whose fucking idea was this? Stop this bullshit. I looked it up, and there's tons of people are okay with this. And what if I was to set my life around never changing the fucking time? We're going to need you to be here at 8 o'clock, Mr. Valentine. Yeah, well, that's at 8 o'clock your time or 8 o'clock my time, because that's 9 o'clock my time. So I'm going to have to be here at 7 o'clock if you want me to be here at 8 o'clock. For you. Fucking stupid, man. I hate how, and it's not even like it's an hour change, right? But it doesn't feel like an hour change. It feels like a 3 to 4 hour change. Because in the summertime, here in Texas, I've never lived anywhere else long enough to know if it's different. I imagine it is. I know how, like, in Alaska, you can have, like, I don't know, dark for fucking 6 months. But when the sun goes down in the summertime in Texas, it's like 8-ish, all right? It's fucking late in the day, and it's awesome. And then all of a sudden, the time changes, and it starts getting dark at fucking 5:30. I don't understand how that gap got widened so much like that when there was only an hour difference. And it seems like we're doing it backwards. And I don't know. It makes more sense to have more daylight later in the day, because human beings tend to be more productive. We get more done. We use the sun to work and to get vitamin D. And I just don't get it. So, yeah, it's stupid. But anyway, change your clocks. On Sunday, we leap. We spring forward, so that means, I think this is the bad one for you people who actually get sleep. Let's see, so like if I had to be at work at 8, it would actually be 9, so I'd have to get up at 7 instead of getting up at 8. Yeah, so you're going to lose an hour by springing forward. So, sucks to be you. I remember when the time change came that as a drinker, I was always so stoked about that one day where it would go, it would go back an hour. So the fall back an hour. And the bars had to abide by this because it was, I guess the law or whatever. But for anyone who's ever spent an enormous amount of time in a bar and it's really important to you to drink until someone forces you to stop, you will know the importance of that extra hour. And it's, I don't know why, and I'm not saying, you don't even have to be a drinker, really, but when you're having a good time at the bar and they call closing time, nobody's ready to go, you know, because if you're already out and you're fucked up at 2 o'clock in the morning, you don't have any intention of leaving because you're not going to work the next day. There's no fucking way. And if you are, then you are a champion drinker like I used to be. But the bar closes at 2, for those of you who aren't bar flies or don't really, like, never really paid attention, but the bars have to close at 2, which means the drinks have to be drank up by the time 2 o'clock hits, which means 15 minutes till they'll make last call, and they don't fuck around because the TABC in Texas don't play. And, you know, they'll come in and they'll write your ass a ticket for anything. They are the mafia here. And so bars are very fucking strict, and they have to be. Any good bar, any well-known establishment, they'll go last call, they'll yell it, they'll scream it at the top of their lungs, they'll tell you to drink your shit because you are about to leave. If you don't drink your shit, you're going to lose your shit, and they will come by and fucking take it. I can't tell you how many times people have gone to the bar at last call and bought multiple full pitchers of beer with the intention of drinking them like some sort of person who could actually consume that much alcohol in such a short amount of time, but it never happens, and then it's a waste. And, you know, not to mention the fact that, you know, buying beer at a bar is already like buying food from DoorDash. It's got a very jacked up price, you know. A beer costs, if you do the math, you know, if you buy a 12-pack of, say, domestic beer, like a Bud Light, okay, I think it's, last time I saw was maybe $10, $11 for a 12-pack of bottles. With tax, you know, that amounts to a dollar a beer. All right? Not bad, right? But you go to the bar, and no way it's less than 3, and some places it's as high as 6 or 7. And if you go to a fucking football game in Houston to see the Texans, then it is fucking $12. I shit you not. It's $12 a beer. I went to, it's the first time I ever went to see the Houston Texans, and I was plenty alcoholic at that point. I remember that I did not buy more than one beer. And it was in a little plastic bottle. It had a little jersey on it. It was $12. So I made sure I was good boozed up by the time I got in there. And, you know, if you're going to bring liquor in with you, you just got to make sure it's in plastic. So more tips for being an alcoholic from Joey Valentine. You're welcome. Okay. So it is 6 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday. And I guess I told you guys I was going to talk more about my criminal history. Is that what you guys want to hear? We'll pick up where we left off, which was me being arrested at the mall in the Woodlands for, not for what I did, but for having a warrant for tickets unpaid. I didn't run into any more trouble with the law for like a year, and I moved to Dallas about the time I was 19. And it was just very random how I ended up in Dallas. I actually probably like the first person ever to meet a girl on the internet in 1996. So it was this, there were these chat rooms in that had come out, you know, the internet was still very, very fresh, very new, and you didn't really know what to do with it. Like, it wasn't for websites in the beginning. I mean, you had AOL. And you'd get on to AOL, and AOL was like the fucking thing that everybody had, and they had these goddamn discs everywhere. We used them as coasters, and they'd always be like, free, 100 hours, whatever. AOL was the reigning king of the internet in the early days, in the late 90s. Everybody had AOL. There was no question. And, of course, other places started popping up, and we did not have AOL. I lived with this guy, Barry, and his mom, and Barry and I were in a band together. And we had Prodigy, and Prodigy, I mean, it's the same fucking thing. It was a dial-up internet connection, but Prodigy had its own little chat rooms, just like AOL. They were specific to the provider, and with the Prodigy had all these chat rooms. And I'm going to tell you something, looking back on it now, okay, and this is going to sound fucked up, but because I guess I didn't really think much of it then, but there would be there was chat rooms, and they were all designated for not, I mean, you, there wasn't like you had to prove anything, but there'd be like 30 and over, 40 and over. There'd be, you know, under 18. There were kids' rooms, and they weren't monitored. They weren't, I mean, this is a long, long time ago. They weren't monitored. You know, the internet had no kind of like boundaries or law or cyber law. And you can only imagine, like, I didn't think of it at the time. But now, I, you know, looking back on it, this was an open invitation, a breeding ground for people to go after children. And hopefully not a whole lot of that happened back in those days. I mean, you couldn't send photos. So, I mean, really, you couldn't. Like, you could. I mean, first of all, you had to be able to put the photo onto your computer, which meant owning a digital camera or having a scanner, you know, to be able to put a picture onto your computer. I did not own a scanner. Digital cameras were ridiculously high priced when they first came out. And a lot of the times when I first started getting pictures digitally was when they were film, and I had a really nice Canon. And I would take pictures with film, and then when you take them to the photo mat, to the photo mart or whatever, I went to Eckerd back then. I don't know if you guys know what Eckerd is, but Eckerd's a long line chain. It's a chain. It's a freaking store. Drug store that had been around a long time. I believe they are all shut down now, but here in Texas, there was a lot of them. And their photo lab had the option to burn them all to a CD. So that was easy enough to, you know, you put the photo, your film photos on the CD, and they looked like film even when they were on the CD. It's so funny. They still have the grain and look like the photos that were glossy. That's how you could do it. Then you could slip the CD into your computer, and that's how you could put pictures on your computer. And so, but these things, you know, you didn't do these things. We didn't think about these things. Hell, man, I didn't take pictures of jack shit. We had a video camera, you know, but we, you know, we played around with to record ourselves skateboarding and stuff like that. But technology was so, so different. So anyway, what I was getting to was there were these kids' rooms, and the kids' rooms were, you couldn't keep adults from going in there. I don't know if any adults did go in the kids' rooms, but I guarantee you that they did, you know, because the more I find out about CP, the more I realize that it's just so common. It's just absolutely so rampant, you know, than more than anything that you could think of when it comes to crime. And so my friend John and I, we used to go into these kids' rooms and we would fuck with them. Now, we didn't do anything gross. We didn't do anything like pedo, anything like that. We never, ever, 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 I cannot stress to you enough, ever said anything sexual or swore or said anything inappropriate. We would just go in there and we would mess with them. You know, we would just like the way kids will mess with each other. Like, we acted like little kids, and these kids, because they wouldn't swear because they were kids and they were on the computer, they'd say the funniest stuff. They'd be like, the best burn ever was this child told me, he said, "Why don't you get on a subway and go 75? And I was like, "That is the fucking sickest burn ever, because I have no idea what it means, but it sounds like it's pretty badass." And I've been saying that for like my whole life since. But here's another thing. So I went into a men's gay chat room on Prodigy. And here's how it worked. You had the chat rooms. If you're not familiar with the old school chat rooms, you had one long line of dialogue going on your screen. So it was basically everyone that was in the room could see everything that everyone wrote to each other. And then you had the option to instant message somebody and talk to them privately if you accepted it. You know, if they messaged you, you could say, "I will talk to them," or "I know I don't want to talk to them." I don't believe blocking existed back then. But I went into that men's gay room and I posted on the big screen. I said, 14 years old, 12 inch cock. That's all I did. Okay. And my computer went and like overheated. I got so many fucking messages so fast from so many men that were interested because I said that. And back then, I mean, yeah, I found it disturbing, but I also thought, well, you know, this small handful of people that are on the internet, you know, are doing it specifically for that. But it's really not the case. There seems to be a ton of sexual deviancy in society everywhere, no matter who you are, no matter what walk of life you come from, and it's very fucking disturbing. If you go online and you look up sexual registered people, sexual offenders registered in your neighborhood, chances are it will light up like a fucking Christmas tree, showing you where they live, because they have to. You have to know. I don't know how it works in Texas. I've heard that people have to, not here in Texas, but I've heard that people have to go door to door in some places and be like, "Hi, I just moved in, and I'm a registered sex offender." I don't. Obviously, it's not like that here, because I haven't met half of my fucking neighbors that are registered, and I live in a really great neighborhood with really great people, and so I don't know what to think of that. And I'm going off the rails here and getting completely sidetracked here. So how I moved to Dallas to begin my lengthy career in jail was I was on Prodigy in a chat room, a punk rock chat room, and I met a girl named Elisal. And Elisal was lived in Richardson, which is north suburb of Dallas. And she and I talked for a long time, and we had all these things in common. I had no idea what she looked like. I don't know if I even had asked. I mean, she had probably described herself. She did not describe herself as fat, although she turned out to be much very matching that description very much. Her and I talked for weeks, and then I convinced her, or maybe she brought it up or something, to come to the Woodlands and hang out. And she did, and she said, "I'm bringing my friend Amy." And when she was about halfway here, not here, but halfway there to me, and she said, I think she had called me from a payphone, because cell phones were not a thing yet in common society. And she called me and she said, "Yeah, we're like halfway there." I think she called me from Huntsville. She said, "I'm really nervous." And I said, "Why? What are you nervous?" I said, "Yeah, well, I mean, of course, but you know, what are you so nervous about?" And she said, "Well," she's like, "you know, my friend Amy's really pretty and you're probably going to like her more." And in my mind, immediately this voice in my mind went, "Fat. She's fat." So there I'm at the apartment with Barry and the other guys in my band, and we're all hanging out on Friday night like we do, and the door gets knocked on, and Barry goes and lets them in, and here comes Elisa bouncing her fat ass into my house, and her friend Amy, who was quite attractive, so she totally called it. And of course Amy and I did start dating, like, almost immediately. I had some kind of fight with Barry, and I just was like, "You know what, fuck you," and I just left. I like took my shit and I put it in Amy's truck and I just went to Dallas, and that was that. Simple as that. Huge decision, I know, life-changing decision, but I didn't have anything going on in my life at the time, and I knew I could try out for hockey there, and I did. So I went and lived with Amy and her Mormon father, her very, very, very Mormon father, in a bedroom of my own on the other side of the house. And eventually I started working for DirecTV in a call center, got my own apartment, and that's the way I lived in Dallas for a while. And then I got a Jeep. I got a Geo Tracker, which was a dope, dope fucking Jeep. And I had a blast driving that. I lost that in an accident. Some fucking drunk driver hit me from behind. I was at a standstill on 635. Well, the exit to 635 off 75. I was at a complete stop on the freeway because they had blocked off the exit to the loop. And I was just waiting to get back onto the highway, but it was like closing time and on a Friday or Saturday or something. And this guy at full 65 hit me, stopped on the highway. And he was in a Honda. Completely fucking demolished it. The Geo had this like amazing little bar on the bottom of it that covered the gas tank, and that fucking bar absorbed, I mean, it was barely moved, and it absorbed that Honda. It was like a brand new Civic, and it fucking folded like an accordion. I mean, that thing was smashed up to the fucking windshield, and I drove home. I did not, however, stick around for the police because I had warrants. I had gotten lots of tickets in that geo tracker in lots of different counties. Now, I actually had several active warrants in Houston at this time also. I can't remember off the top of my head what they're for, but I'm sure they were traffic tickets. But before I left for Dallas, so when I got to Dallas, I had actually had my license run by Richardson PD, and I had a major panic attack because I thought I was going to jail. Turns out, back then, and only probably back then and never again, could you not get picked up in another county? See, like now in Texas, if you have a warrant anywhere for anything, you're going to jail. It doesn't matter if you're in El Paso and your warrant is in Houston. How they do it is they have 7 days to come get you. And if they don't come get you in 7 days, they release you. And let me tell you, I've been through that twice, where I've had to be extradited back to Dallas. And they wait till the seventh fucking day before they come and get you. They always do, man. You think you're getting out. Both times, man, I was like, okay, it's day seven. I was like, don't jinx it. Don't jinx it. You know, like, I'm sure they're coming. It's you know, like, they're not going to just, like, you know. Or then I'd tell myself, like, well, you know, they're not going to come. I'm going to drive all the way from Dallas for little old me. And, I'm sorry. I forgot. Those, if you want to know what those were for, I forgot one other offense I've committed in my life, and that is not paying child support. That was a personal battle between me and my ex-wife for not letting me see my child, and I refused to pay her money because of it, and it got to be like, no matter how that played out, I was always on the losing end, i.e. going to jail several times. I have, of course, paid all my child support now, so please do not think less of me for, you know, but if you're not allowed to see your child, why the fuck should you be paying any money? You know what I'm saying? Like, I played by the rules. So, I had warrants in Houston for something. I know one of them was like I took a left turn and a no left turn downtown. It was the only time I've ever been pulled over by HPD. And I had a littering ticket. That's right. That's the real start to my criminal career. I had met a guy named Bill who had just moved to Houston from Chicago. He was a real Chicagoan. He was a real fucking prick. Hardcore punk rocker. Just a real fucking jerk off. But he amused the shit out of me because he was just, everything was punk rock this and punk rock that. Me and Spencer, our drummer, got a kick out of making fun of him because he said things like pop when he referred to coke. And that was hilarious to us. And so Bill, being of age, was able to buy alcohol, and I never drank, so any kind of alcohol for me was going to get me just fucked up. And he had a thing for apple cider, back before I even knew what apple cider was, back before it was a popular thing, like with the woodchuck and all that shit. And by the way, apple cider is just so absolutely fucking delicious. If you've never tried it, if you do like to drink, I highly recommend trying an apple cider. It's a great alternative to beer if you don't like beer. But he would buy the cider in fucking in 40s, 40 ounce bottles of cider. And we, you know, I think it was one or two. I don't know how I ever drank one, because looking back on it now, like in my early stages of drinking, I could only drink a 40 of anything and then I'd get sick or get the spins. So he'd buy a couple of 40s of apple cider, and we would get fucking blitzed, and we'd have band practice, and then we'd eventually get hungry and go to Burger King. I went to Burger King a lot. I was vegetarian back then. I was vegetarian for like a very long time, but when I drank, I couldn't resist having a Whopper. I don't know why. I just couldn't fucking, like, it was all I could think about was eating a fucking Whopper, and so I would. And we would do dumb shit, and Bill let me drive all the time in his car. He had this little baby blue Oldsmobile, and it was not a, I guess it was a punk rock car. I wouldn't call it punk rock, but I guess it was punk rock. And we did so many things looking back on it now, like that I should have gotten in so much more trouble for. We went through a Burger King one time and I was absolutely just shit faced and brazen, bold, cocky. And we were in the drive thru and we order our food and there's one car in front of us and they're at the window where you get your food. And they've already paid. I watched them hand them the money and I tell Bill, I said, hey, so how about I push them out of the drive thru? And normal people who own a car that someone else is driving say, don't do that. No, that's a bad idea. Or let's not. We're going to get in trouble. You know, something along those lines. But his response was, stay. And I inched up on the car until I knew. I mean, I just feathered it, you know, up to the bumper to where I knew that we were completely pressed against each other. And hit the fucking gas and kind of spun out for a second and pushed that fucking car right out of the drive thru and stopped at the window for my food. And this girl came back, sassy black girl, and she like poked her head out the window and looked at the car I had just pushed out and looked at me. And she was like, what the fuck is going on? And I was like, how much do I owe you? And she just, and the guy starts to get out of his car. And I said, what the fuck are you going to do? And he gets back in his car and he drives away. I mean, this is unacceptable behavior. You can't go around in society like that. But I thought, because I had gotten into punk rock as a young child, I thought that I was above the law and it was the way I was going to act, rebelling, acting out, doing things like that, fucking with normal people, fucking with society. And it never came back to bite me in the ass the way it should have. I mean, sure, I got in trouble a few times, but not like I should have for some things that I didn't get caught for. But he gets back in his car and he drives off and I get my food and we go home. And, you know, it wasn't like the police showed up at Bill's house the next day and like we had a report of this or that. No, nothing. Not a fucking thing became of that. So one of these nights, Bill and I were driving around and we stopped. We were just driving. I mean, we didn't make a habit of drinking and driving, but we were out for some reason. I think we'd actually gone to get more apple cider. Like we had finished up what we had, so we were both drunk and we had just bought more. And we stopped at a McDonald's. It was freezing fucking cold. It was one of the coldest winters we'd ever had in Houston. And I had still had some left. Bill had just had to piss. That's the only reason we stopped, was because he had to go to the bathroom. And he pulls in. We're in one of these diagonal things, you know. And there's a guy, there's a man standing up by the McDonald's front door with a big, big coat on and his hands in his pockets. And I'm like, oh, well, now I got to piss. So I get out of the car, and I'm standing outside of the car, and I'm in full view of the world, and I'm chugging this 40 of cider. And once I'm done, I just, like, blatantly chuck it into the fucking bushes. And I look back at that guy who's standing up at the McDonald's, and he's staring me down, right? And I go, what the fuck are you looking at? And he starts making his way over to me, and that's when I realize that that big, thick jacket he's wearing says sheriff on it. Couldn't tell, you know. Just, you know, you're used to seeing a uniform, not a jacket. And he takes me, and he he bends me over. Not like that. I mean, like, he slams me onto the car face first. So, like, I'm in a bent over position. So it's like, bam, onto the trunk. And I immediately, right, go into panic mode. I'm like, I'm sorry. I didn't know you were a cop. Didn't know. My bad. Big fucking mistake. Had no idea. And he ran my license. I didn't have any warrants at the time. And I said, man, I wasn't, you know, like, I was not punk rock anymore. I dropped the fucking attitude. I was like, bro, I am so sorry. And he goes, you know what? He's like, just shut up and I'm going to write you a couple tickets. And I said, yes, sir. And he did. He wrote me a ticket for littering. Littering and. I can't remember what he wrote me for. He did not get me for public intox, and he did not get me for minor in possession. He got me for littering and something else, like my not having my seatbelt on when we pulled up or something. He just wanted to make sure he gave me another ticket. I can't believe he didn't give me. He could have easily arrested me. I was definitely an adult then, you know, physically, by law. So, yeah, I did what I always do, and I didn't pay the ticket. And when I was in Dallas, I was sure that I was going to get arrested because I didn't know how things worked. When Richard said, and the reason I had my license run that time to find out that I wasn't going to get arrested, was I was at a party. Back when I turned 21, I made a habit of buying alcohol for minors. Now, before you judge me, I had an apartment that my girlfriend's brother, who was in high school, him and his friends liked to come and hang out on the weekends and drink. And my agreement with them was that I would get them alcohol if they drank it at my house and they didn't take it with them and they didn't drive drunk. And so there was always like, it was very, very responsible. I mean, really. It was very responsible. I made sure, like, if guys were drinking, they had a girl to drive them home or something like that, you know, or they crashed. Most of the time, they just fucking stayed in my apartment. We'd all wake up in the morning with major hangovers. So I had this racket going where I was buying alcohol for Brady and his little high school friends. By the way, if any police are listening, this story is completely fictitious. So I went to the store, and I knew the law in Texas was that you have to, if you buy alcohol and it's put into a car, in Richardson especially, you have to put it in the trunk. You're not allowed to, can you believe that? In Dallas, in Richardson, you cannot transport alcohol in the front seat or the back seat. It must be put in the trunk. So I knew that law. But I was driving one of their cars, and we went to the Kroger, and I told him, I said, look, I was like, I have to carry the alcohol, I have to put it into the trunk, and I'm going to drive, so, like, everybody just fucking chill out and, you know, let me do my thing. So I go into the store, and I buy a case of Bud Light, and I buy a case of Budweiser, what they asked for, and I came back out. There were two Richardson cops that were hanging out outside the Kroger. And that's exactly why I knew they'd be there. And this is my neighborhood. And I did everything by the book. I walked out. I carried the beer to the car. I never once let it be handled by anyone else. I don't think that I even took anyone into the store with me. I popped the trunk. I placed the beer into it. And I got into drive. And the cops came over. And, of course, you know, immediately, I've got nothing better to do on Friday in fucking Richardson. And because the car was in the name of one of the guys that was underage in the car, because it was his car, technically, even though I was driving, we were breaking the law somehow. I still think that's just a bunch of horse shit, because again, I'm the legal driver of the car. I'm the one that put it. No one ever handled it but me, and no one had access to it except me. So that, I think that was bullshit. And also, they kept my beer and didn't write me any tickets. So, again, it was bullshit. Because he explained to me how, blah, blah, blah. And I said, whatever, you know, man. I said, can I have my beer? And he goes, well, you can have your beer, but I'm going to have to take you to jail. And I was like, well, just fucking keep it then. And they did. So, yay cops on that one. Shit like that is why cops get a bad reputation, even though I continue to back the blue. So they kept my beer, but they ran my license, my Houston license, and I remembered that I had warrants for multiple tickets, not just the littering, but another, you know, the left turn and all this. And he was running my license, and I couldn't breathe. I started hyperventilating, and I thought, hey, I'm going, and I came back clear. But that all changed about 10, 15 years ago. Where you, if you have a warrant, so a word of warning to anyone listening who lives in Texas, and this probably applies to just about fucking anywhere. If you get a ticket in some podunk ass town and you don't pay it because you think, hey, I'm never going to go back there again, or they'll just forget about it and it will go away after a while. Believe me when I tell you that I've been picked up for petty ass misdemeanors 10 years after the fact. I have been taken to jail in a county other than the one I was in for fucking a speeding ticket. I was taken from Richardson to Plano for a ticket for no inspection. No bullshit. And so anyway, I was extradited twice back to Dallas for warrants. And that's when the real fun began. The real adventure, the people I met. Because I had been arrested twice where I live now, which is nowhere fucking near Dallas, and taken in cuffs and shackles to Dallas, which is a 9-hour fucking drive. It's horrible to be shackled and driven that far. And that's where the real journey begins. Meeting people here in the time I had to stay in here, meeting people there. And anyway, I got a lot more stuff to tell you. Sorry that I got long-winded on a big part of my life, but I hope I kept your attention. I got to get ready for work. I hope everybody has a great, what the fuck day is this? Wednesday, I guess? Yeah, have a great Wednesday. Hump day, everybody. And, I totally forgot to use my, I got all these new things. Like,
good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great, Arnold. It's good to talk to you.
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. Uh-huh. I want to have them answered immediately.
Oh, okay. I guess that'd be all right. What's up?
Who is your daddy and what does he do?
Why do you want to know that?
Let me talk to your mother.
No, I don't think so.
I want to ask you a bunch of questions.
Yeah, I know. You already said that.
Answered immediately.
Okay, I'm not going to talk about my dad.
I'm a cop, you idiot!
You are?
Hey, I'm a police officer.
Okay.
First, I would like to just get to know you.
Okay, you want to get to know me?
Yeah.
Okay, well, what do you want to know about me?
Come on, don't bullshit me.
I'm not bullshitting you.
You idiot!
Hey.
Yes.
Fuck you.
Stop whining.
You stop whining.
Stop it!
I know, I'm so fucking stupid.
She take my money!
Haven't heard from Kanye in a long time, have we? I guess he's keeping it moderately normal.
She take my money!
All right, y'all. Have a great day, and I'll see you again on Friday. I've got some really, really great stories coming for you on Friday, I promise.